Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right. How you doing, everyone? I'm Russ Salzberg, and once again, I want you all to listen up here and get a load of this. With the current collective bargaining agreement set to expire next week on December 1st, a work stoppage looms big time over Major League Baseball. That's right, you heard me, folks, a work stoppage. Well, here's what I have to say about a work stoppage in Major League Baseball. What an absolute disgrace. Shame on the owners, shame on the players, shame on everybody. Shame, shame, shame. So like I said, listen up, because you're really going to want to get a load of this. I cannot believe that we are here once again thinking about a work stoppage in Major League Baseball. I mean, first of all, you've heard me say it several times regarding all sports. I'm a capitalist. You're entitled to get as much as you can. Owners, players, everybody. Me and you, folks. Me and you. But these people, and we're just talking about Major League Baseball today because that's what the discussion is. They need to take their heads out of their collective asses and realize what's going on in the world around them. The real world. The real world. The real world in real, where real people, we've just dealt with the, we're still dealing with the pandemic. Millions of people have died. God knows how many more lost their jobs and their homes, their employment, their businesses, businesses that they'll never get back. For lack of a better term, the restaurant business, they've been kicked in the mouth, kicked in the ass, kicked in the nuts, kicked everywhere. And we're talking about a work stoppage in Major League Baseball. Really, a work stoppage in Major League Baseball. When we're talking about people signing contracts. I mean, let me give it. Really, hit me over the head. Maybe I'm missing something here. The Mets. Noah Syndergaard, four. Okay? Who pitched a grand total over the past two seasons of two innings because of arm problems and surgery and yada, yada, yada. Two innings in 2 years. Two! The Mets had offered him a qualifying offer for $18.4 million. $18.4 million. He turned it down and took a one-year deal with the Angels, the Anaheim Angels, for $21 million. Now, again, two innings in 2 years. Life's pretty good if you could sit on your ass. Not that he was sitting on his ass lazy, but, you know, he was had surgery, was out, and then you can come back and make more than you ever made before over for 1 year. That ain't bad. Eduardo Rodriguez, what he left the Red Sox, signs with Detroit. 5 years, $77 million. $77 million. And then you have Justin Verlander, you know, former Cy Young Award winner, who had one start in 2020, then got shut down. I think it was in September, had one start in 2020, got shut down that September, with a forearm strain. He subsequently underwent Tommy John surgery and missed all of 2021, missed all of last season. He just re-signed with the Astros for a one-year deal. And he's 38 years old, no less. For a one-year deal at 25. You hear me? $25 million. People sarcastically will call it monopoly money. I actually think these people, and I'm talking about both sides. I'm talking about owners and players. They think it's monopoly money. Carlos Correa, one of the outstanding many shortstops that are on the market, he turned down like a $160 million five-year deal with the Astros. $160 million for 5 years. Why? Because he probably figures he can double that for 10 years. He can get like over $300 million for 10 years. Yeah, Carlos Correa. Freddie Freeman of the World Series champion Atlanta Braves. Great player, great guy. Freddie turned down 5 years, $135 million from the Braves because he apparently wants 6 years at $200 million. For $200 million. Do you read me, folks, when I say, are these people living in a real world? I think not, or otherwise they think that you, the people, are idiots. As P.T. Barnum would say, a sucker's born every minute. And I really believe these people in Major League Baseball believe that. And they believe fans are suckers if they're going to swallow this shit and not get pissed off about it. I think it's insanity. It's absolutely maddening to me that I could be here talking about this, but I am. Now, listen, I understand everything's about leverage. Look, folks, I'm part of a union. I've been part of a union, SAG-AFTRA union. I've been part of it. I believe in unions. My father, let him rest in peace, was a member of the Transit Authority Union, Transit Workers Union. Well, he was recovering from a heart attack. He got out of bed, took off his pajamas, put on a warm coat, and walked a picket line. So I know all about unions. I know all about strikes. And I know about strikes and work stoppages when people are really on a balls of their ass struggling to make ends meet. Where am I going to get? How am I going to pay my rent and get my next meal? That's why I talk about a real world. I don't begrudge people getting as much as they can. No, that's not what I'm saying, so please don't misread it. But, man, you want to talk about a bad optic? How does this look on Major League Baseball? Now, of course, when I say leverage, listen, you know, you got to push to get people to a table. So, you know, you could say, well, the work stoppage would be a lot better now because we don't want it to happen in Major League, you know, during the season. You know, what could a work stoppage lead to here? Well, it could lead to maybe spring training, which what starts around February 15th. Maybe that doesn't start on time. And then it could lead into a season. But you know who eats this up? Media. Yeah, the baseball writers are going to eat this up because it's going to give them something to talk about. For crying out loud, the Mets don't even have a manager now. They just were able to sign Billy Epler as the new general manager. So what, should we get excited about the possibility of anybody becoming the Mets manager. Well, we don't, when there might be a work stoppage? Really? How insane is this? How utterly insane is this? It boggles my mind, folks. It genuinely does. You know, of course, you know, this puts pressure on, you know, the owners want to put pressure on the players because, hey, you know, it puts a squeeze on the players. These players are anxious to sign their gazillion-dollar contracts. And if there's a stoppage, nobody's signing these gazillion-dollar contracts. You know, and I'm not going to get into, because I really don't care. I'm not getting into the threshold tax and this tax, bada-beep, bada-bop, bada-boop tax. I don't care. What I'm talking about is common sense. When we're talking about figures, and listen, don't begrudge a guy for wanting $300 million for 10 years if an owner is willing to give it to him. See, both sides are full of shit. Both sides are full of shit. They can't get along. Oh, we can get this guy. Well, let's sign this guy. Let's sign this guy away. I mean, listen, you are loaded. The talent out there, I mean, there are a slew of people who are going to make a fortune of money. I mentioned Carlos Correa of the Astros. That's just one. Corey Seager of the Dodgers. We're talking about shortstops that are going to make in excess, each one wants to make in excess of $300 million for 10 years. $300 million. The shortstop in Toronto, what's the kid's name? Marcus Semien. Trevor Story of the Rockies. Boatloads of money. The pitcher for the Blue Jays, Robbie Ray. Boatload of money. Max Scherzer. All these guys. I mentioned Freddie. I mean, people are going to make a shitload of money, or they want it. They want it, and some owners want to give it to them. And the suckers are we the people. It just boggles my mind. We've been through work stoppages. What was it back in 94? It cost us a World Series. We've been through work stoppages. I've been through strikes. And could you imagine with this kind of money going on? I mean, think about it, folks. Work stoppages, whether it's a lockout or a strike. Really? It makes zero. I'll say it makes zero sense. More to the point, it makes zero common sense. And I'm not trying to be overly dramatic here. But look at the state of affairs in our country. The supply chain is empty or damn near close to it. Inflation. Gas prices. Unemployment. Oh, yeah. And that COVID-19, where it's cost people lives, livelihood, you name it. It's put not just our country, the world in chaos and wreaked havoc on everybody. And I'm talking to you here today about a work stoppage. And, you know, then there's discussion, well, what would the work stoppage lead to? As I mentioned before, I understand you want to put pressure on each other. I'm sorry, guys. You got to have common sense. You got to say, wait a minute. Listen, fellas, bargaining agreement, no bargaining agreement, MLB owners, MLB Players Association, you got to sit down with each other and say, no, we can't do this. We're all going to look like assholes. Selfish, self-absorbed assholes. I'm not saying everybody is, but it sure as hell looks that way, guys. If you don't smarten up real soon. You can be pro player, you can be pro owner. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about strict common sense. Strict common sense. You can get into tax thresholds and this and years of service and, well, free agency, guys should get it after 5 years instead of six, blah, 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 blah. That's not what this is about, because you know what? Whatever it is, compare it to Joe Blow on the street. And again, I've criticized fans. I remember when I was doing a radio show for WFAN, fans would call up and say, you know, I would do this for nothing. You know, these guys are playing a game. So I remember saying to a fan one day, well, you do it for nothing? What do you do for a living? He told me he was like a chemical salesman. And I says, okay, I'll tell you what. You call up your boss next week and tell him you're going to work for the next 2 weeks for nothing. And the guy got all pissed off at me. He said, well, that's a stupid thing to say. Why should I work for nothing? You just said you would do it for nothing. Well, I said I'd play baseball for nothing. Oh, you said you'd play baseball for nothing. Oh, okay. Well, that's their livelihood. Because you live vicariously through them. Don't blame that on them. I've taken fans to task over that. Boy, you can go back to the Joe DiMaggio's. You know, he held out. I think it was for $25,000 they booed him. I remember saying to Mickey Mantle one day, let the Mick rest in peace. It was at a March of Dimes luncheon. And Mick was being honored. And I said, I interviewed him. And I says, Mickey, what would you do? What do you think you'd be worth in today's world? And I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about, you know, some years back. Okay? Mick's gone a long time. But I said to him, I said, Mick, what would you do if you were playing in today's market, today's world? All right, I'm going back now because Mick died in 1995. But people were still making a lot more around that time, or in the early 90s. It must have been around 1990 when I interviewed him. So I'm going back like 30 years. You know what Mick said? He says, I'd go up to Mr. Steinbrenner, Russ, and I'd say, howdy, partner. Yeah. Okay? So everybody wanted their money, and I have no problem with that. You're entitled to get as much as you can get. I'll say it over and over and over again. But under these circumstances, in particular under these circumstances and these times, shame on everybody. Shame on the players. Shame on the owners. Shame on everybody. Shame, shame, shame. If you give the public any kind of work stoppage, I say shame on you. Shame on you. And I would implore fans, I don't tell people to stay away from the game, but I would implore fans to wisen up and stop living vicariously through athletes. Live your own lives. Because if they can do this, they care a whole lot less about you than you care about them. Shame on all of them. And that goes, I'm not just putting on the players, I'm putting on the owners as well. Shame, shame, shame. And that, my friends, is a wrap on today's Get a Load of This. Now I'd like to, once again, get a load of you. Let me know your thoughts on today's podcast. You can do that on Twitter at Russ Salzberg. You can do it on Facebook. You can always check out my website at russsalzberg.com. Now I want to thank my home here at Bleav.com because, as I've said to you many times before, folks, Bleav is the number one podcast network for professionals. But above all, want to thank you, the people out there, because without you, the people out there, I'd have nobody in here to be talking to. So until next time, it is I, Russ Salzberg, saying to all of you, bye-bye, so long, and farewell. Have a great week, everybody, and a happy and healthy Thanksgiving to all.
Thank you for listening to Bleav. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Bleav.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.